Hi, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. On today's show, we have a series of narratives by students from Upper Arlington High School, the newest contributors to our program. The stories are about how these students discovered who they are because of their families, whether that meant leaning on their family for support or finding out that their family was far different than they ever expected. Lily Rhode Hamill shares how the hardest moments of her life helped her define herself.
Though not one of those obsessive memorabilia-collecting Beatles fans, I do enjoy their music and what they had to offer to the generation that they single-handedly changed forever. A particular line in one of their songs, however, gets me every time. As John Lennon subtly sings the line, "Living is easy with eyes closed," in their hit, "Strawberry Fields Forever," chills never fail to escape me. Living in such a place where opportunities to do everything and anything you want surround you, effortlessly at your reach, it takes a real obstacle and hardship to pry your eyes open. Growing up in a town known as the Bubble of Columbus, Ohio, it wasn't until I endured my eye-opening experience that I realized until we decide to open our eyes, we can't truly see who we are. In my junior year of high school, my dad was sentenced to 6 years in prison due to a business deal that went wrong. In the time surrounding the incident, it was impossible for me to understand why this was happening. In the life I had previously known, things this horrid didn't happen. I was so blind. Yes, like it says in the song, it was easier living with my eyes metaphorically closed. And yes, opening them was the most challenging task I have ever endured, but it was also the most defining. The first time I got to talk to my dad in prison was the first moment my eyes began to open. After silence and half-spoken words disrupted by tears, he finally told me to not let this define me, that he surely wasn't going to, and what I make of this situation is what will define me. These words stung me to the core. They hit my soul as if it was made of glass, and a hard rock of reality was just thrown through it, shattering it into the millions of little pieces of what I thought I knew. And let it all unfurl. Into broken remnants, smiling like you mean it. As someone who has recently begun living with open eyes, I can say that this obstacle has taken my life in a 180-degree flip. The complication and hurdles I stumble upon in life from now on will never add up to the experience that forced my eyes open. That chapter of my life has taught me to take things with poise and confidence, and not let the things you cannot control in life define you. It has taught me to realize the reality of life, and contrary to what many believe, life is not fair. How we deal with the unfair things is what makes us who we are, and ultimately defines us. Although living is easy with eyes closed, we cannot reach our full potential and move on to greater things without them opened.
Joe Camaruca used sports to get through the hardest times in his young life. He shares how he came to adopt his life mantra, one step closer. Here's Joe.
Well, in the midst of creating a project regarding an athlete in his life, my own life came to mind. The use of athletics as an escape from the stresses of the life I live. Before I go further into this, I would like to say that I love my amazing life. I live by a personal strategy that I created through my tweets. Every day I tweet and say to myself, one day closer. It's a mixture of living life to the fullest and living it day by day. But more than anything, it is one day closer to the cross and what really makes me happy. Most people would look at me and say that I am one of the happiest kids they know. On the outside, I would have to agree. No one would even be able to guess the struggles that I go through and the struggles that I have gone through. In November of 2003, at the age of 9, I lost my brother Peter. He had cerebral palsy and epilepsy. He was 13 at the time. He was a miracle, an amazing young man. No one will ever be able to replace the space he filled. It is a very hard thing to lose a sibling, no matter what the condition is. Pete was confined to a wheelchair and could not speak, but he was still my brother, and it is still the hardest thing that I have gone through and might ever go through. Losing my dad. You never really know what to expect when you lose someone so close. You begin to feel lost, and personally, I questioned my actions and what I was doing. At the time, I was an avid swimmer. Swam around year, never really stopped. That was my hiding place. I had to hide how I truly felt for the sake of my own happiness. I felt watched and followed, like everyone was paying attention to the kid who lost his brother. When everything was beginning to get better, devastation struck again. My dad had started a company in Indianapolis and was gone 5 to 6 days a week. Sometimes he was even gone weeks at a time. For an 11 or 12 year old who was coming off the loss of a brother, this was the feeling of the end. How much worse can it get? Not a lot worse. But enough to crush a kid who is already growing up wondering what happiness really is. Turns out my father was cheating on my mother with another woman. A woman that I have always had a bad feeling about and someone I have begun to hate. I am a good person and try not to hate anyone, but I hate this woman. She was the reason for my parents' divorce and the reason for my father's departure. Due to these events in my short 17 years of life, I am a completely different person than what I thought I would be. I have a confusing but satisfying living situation. I live with my mother, and my brother just moved out, but he is down the street at The Ohio State University. Living with just my mother is a stressful thing. I feel like there's a lot more responsibility with it just being the two of us, and a lot that I have to take care of. I've begun to feel like the man of the house, and I'm only 17 years old. It scares me, and it makes me sad. I'm a sad person, but I find the positives in things, and use lacrosse as an escape. On the field, I am a completely free soul. I am loud, obnoxious, entertaining, excited. More than anything, I am relaxed and happy. It is an escape. An oasis among a life of hardships and hurdles. In the middle of the first quarter of school, everything started to pick up. Schoolwork, lacrosse, working out. But more than anything, the level of stress skyrocketed. I started to skip opportunities to play lacrosse and use my escape route. After about 2 weeks of doing nothing and just being angry and stressed with my whole situation, I texted one of my coaches, Greg Weiss, and he told me to come out and play and talk to him about things. I was unaware of his situation as a child growing up, along with his current situation. It turns out that he and I are kind of in the same boat. Minus the age difference, we are very, very similar. His advice to me was that I need to continue to use lacrosse like I do in the spring and to use every chance I get to escape life and be the person I am on the lacrosse field. The words that Coach Bice told me and the advice he gave me have changed my outlook on everything and have made me look at the glass half full and not half empty. Knowing that someone is there and someone has been through some of the same things that I have is unbelievably comforting. It allows me to feel like someone, not that I want to be the same as everyone else. It just makes me feel like someone cares and that I'm not that kid. Another positive lacrosse connection is a man named Ron Walters, also known as Dubs. He said something once. He said, "There are hills and valleys in life. It's the ones who make it out of the valleys that work wonders in this world." That came after a playoff loss to Worthington Kilborn, breaking a streak of something like 19 years in a row in the state championship at Upper Arlington. I have used this quote to help others, and I have used this quote to help myself through those hard days, because everyone has bad days, and nothing is ever going to be absolutely perfect. The use of this quote and my own methods, such as One Day Closer, help me get through every day and help me continue to be happy when things are down. There is only room to improve, no one wants to go backwards, but it happens, and there's absolutely nothing anyone can do about it. I think that everyone should live their own life to the fullest and cherish every moment they have, because you never know when something will go wrong. Using lacrosse as an escape is an extremely beneficial thing because I have an opportunity to play lacrosse 5 or 6 times a week. Without these methods and without lacrosse, I have no clue where I would be at this point in my life. One day closer. One day closer to lacrosse. One day closer to the end of school. One day closer to tomorrow. You choose where you want to go, and every day, you will be one day closer.
Katie Kapusta found herself not through tragedy within her family, but through admiration for her older brother.
Growing up as a middle child is never easy, but growing up in the middle of two boys, now that's a challenge. As the only girl, I've had my fair share of fights, but being in the middle of two boys has really been a blessing in disguise. Since my older brother, Matt, is 3 years older than me, I was introduced to everything boy at a young age. When Matt started to play soccer and baseball, so did I. I started to follow in his footsteps, playing almost every sport he did, and eventually watching every sport with him. Since my family is huge Wisconsin Badger fans, we would always watch the football games together. Matt taught me everything about football, answering my every question. Watching football turned into watching SportsCenter every morning on ESPN before school. I gained knowledge about every popular sport and player and actually came to like watching it. As we grew up, it became a tradition. Wake up, get ready, and eat breakfast while watching SportsCenter. We never missed a day. As Matt entered high school, he entered into the broadcasting program and became the producer of the live weekly television show. It would only fit if when I came to the high school, I would follow in his footsteps. I decided to take the broadcasting courses at the high school, and next year I am planning on participating in the live show. I am planning on majoring in broadcast journalism when I enter college, and my longtime dream is, of course, to be an anchor for SportsCenter. Without having my brothers, especially Matt, my life path would be extremely different. I love that because of him, I am no ordinary girly girl, but a girl that really knows her sports.
This is Youth Beat Radio. Today we are hearing stories from Upper Arlington students about how their families have shaped who they are. Next up, Wyatt West explains how the negative repercussions of sibling rivalry are teaching him and his brother patience.
It's hard to judge how good you are about something without sounding arrogant or cocky. See, I have a problem with this because I'm a twin. My twin Sam and I play the same sports, cross country and tennis. With these sports come the same exact question from people. Which one of you is better at one of these sports? In cross country, it's extremely easy to answer this question because whoever has the best time is better, and that's usually Sam. But in tennis, the question is a very tough one to answer. We rarely play each other in actual tournaments, and those outcomes usually go, I win one, Sam wins one. I win one, Sam wins one. You get the picture. This clearly does not show who is better. So when people ask us, who is better at tennis, we usually say we're equal. No twin is better than the other. One reason for this answer is we don't like elevating one twin over the other. We see each other as equals, and we don't want to have that competition that some twins and even siblings have. One problem with this view is when we play doubles. We play as a doubles team, and when we are not at our best, tensions flare. We don't scream and throw punches and rackets. It's usually these little sniping comments we make to each other, like, great job double falling that last serve, which is usually rebutted with, at least I can make a volley. We don't do these during our school matches because when we get in those arguments, we generally tend to play worse as a pair, and we don't want to lose and let our team down. But when we are playing in regional independent matches where we should beat our opponent and something isn't working and we start losing, that's when we really start to get angry. One of those arguments that I previously mentioned starts, and things go from bad to worse. We lose, and the ride home would be filled with Sam and I swearing at each other and pointing out the other twin did wrong. In addition to that, our parents would be disappointed. Not because we should have won, but we basically beat ourselves. This adds up to a pretty unpleasant car ride home. We generally try to avoid these fights, because it affects dramatically how we play. We enjoy playing with each other, and we know we make a great team. We just need to smooth out those rough spots we hit during matches with as little fighting as possible.
This is a portion of a college application essay from senior Max Zid.
Splitting Up by Max Conrad Wolfgang Zid III, aka Pause. He has looked out for me from the very moment I was born. He has been my best friend for as long as I can remember. He is my brother Steve. My brother has taught me many important habits, like to be honest even if it means you get into trouble, and to work hard for things that you want. I remember when I was in middle school, every night when I came home, I'd find my brother downstairs watching TV or playing video games. We would hang out together till we had to go to bed. Now I come home to find an empty basement with no one to hang out with. My brother did something that all older brothers do that I know. He went to a galaxy far, far away, a fantastic place where everyone wants to end up. He went to college. Now the only time I get to see him is during winter break, fall break, and in the summer. Although I still consider my brother my best friend, I feel like we are splitting farther apart. In 2 years, my brother will probably get an internship, and if this essay goes well, I will be in college. Once that happens, I will be lucky to see Steve 4 times a year instead of seeing him 365 days of the year. This is the way you left me. I'm not pretending. No hope, no love, no glory, no happy ending. I have learned a lot about my brother's friendship and love. It has served as a sturdy foundation of my building of life. One thing that I have learned is that even if you love something so much that sometimes you have to let it go, because that is a part of growing up. With this relationship, I am more empathetic because I have a greater understanding of people and what they want. Going into college, I hope to keep a healthy relationship with my brother. I am looking forward to beginning a new relationships and learning more about myself through the college experience.
Sam West shares a story of his grandfather's service during World War II and what these stories mean to him as he lives his life after his grandfather's death.
My grandfather, Donald Pond, or Papa as I called him, died on December 21st, 2009, of my freshman year. His funeral was the day before Christmas Eve, which was definitely not the way I wanted to spend the holiday. So on December 23rd, my family traveled to Elyria, Ohio to go to his funeral. The service was great, along with an amazing eulogy by my uncle. After the service, my entire extended family went back to my grandmother's house, when we reflected on his long and filled life. During that time, I realized that while I may get hand-me-down clothing items such as my grandfather's gloves and scarves, he left me something much more valuable, his stories about his life. Before his death, every time my family and I would visit my grandma and papa's house, I would ask him about his life, especially about his experience as a fighter pilot in World War II. His stories about the war were amazing and still fascinate me. He joined the Royal Air Force in 1941 and was assigned to a Spitfire plane. He flew missions escorting bombers into Axis territory, strafing trains, and also dogfighting German aircraft. In December of 1943, he joined the Army Air Corps and flew a P-51 Mustang. He was shot down in March 1944 and was taken as a prisoner of war and was sent off to a POW camp. Many people imagine POW camps as mass death camps where Nazis would execute thousands of prisoners. This actually was not the case. While in the camps, my grandfather tried to escape numerous times by digging a tunnel under his bed but was caught every time and sent back to the camp. His German captors were not horrible people. In fact, he would often teach his captors English while they would teach him German. In the POW camp, both sides had a mutual respect for fighting the war, which led to no hatred between my grandpa and the German people after the war. Obviously, these camps were no walk in the park, and the time came when he had to switch camps. From his prison camp named Stalag 11, he was taken on a 500-mile forced march across northern Germany from February 6 to May 2nd of 1945. During a 3-month march, he had a severe foot infection, aggravated by the fact that his shoes were torn to shreds. He also tried to escape 3 times, but went back to the march, since there was nowhere to go. Of the 7,000 POWs taken on the march, only 3,000 survived. My grandpa's weight dropped down to a meager 108 pounds before his liberation by the British on May 2nd, 1945. If I asked my grandpa if he hated the Germans for taking him prisoner, his answer was no. Many of his captors were young Germans, not smart enough or big enough to fight on the front lines. Some of his captors didn't want to fight in the war, and some of them disagreed with what the Nazis were doing to Europe. He realized that they were just doing their duty, just as he was doing his enlisting in the RAF. He gained this mutual respect for his captors, which led to my grandpa live a life with no animosity against the Germans. While these stories of his captivity and learning to respect one's enemies aren't about me, The lessons I take away from these stories will have a greater impact than any other experience and hopefully stay with me for years to come.
For our last segment, Gianna Cantwell explains why there is no place like home.
Imagine one of the worst days of your life. You've either failed a test, had a horrible fight with a friend, broken up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, etc. On the more dramatic end, you may have just attended a funeral of a loved one, or you are just emotionally and physically run down. Where is the first place you want to go? I know for myself and probably most people, that question can be answered by a simple four-letter word, home. For me, being home means one thing, being with my family, which is a feeling I can't even describe. I moved to Ohio from my home in Colorado when I was in the fourth grade. It's hard for most people to look back on their childhood and remember certain things, but not me. I'm able to look at a picture of the Rocky Mountains and remember my amazing life growing up in Colorado. I know it sounds cheesy, but I honestly couldn't have asked for a better childhood. Between going up to Vail or Aspen on the weekends, making up silly games with my neighbors and brothers, and setting aside time to be with my family every night was truly a memorable time. Having that time period between moves meant spending more time with my family. Since I didn't make friends right off the bat, coming home meant a certain type of security and comfort, that even though I was in a new house, I was with the same family that I was used to. I have my two parents, my twin brother Jim, and my older brother Wes. There's no doubt that my family members are what transforms our house into a home. Starting with my parents, who've always been my number one fans. They are the backbone of our home, and united, they hold our whole family intact. My mom has one of the most contagious and bubbly personalities and brings a sense of faith and support to our home and family. My dad is a laid-back, artistic man who I look to as a friend with a great sense of humor. There's nothing like being home on a Sunday afternoon spending time with my two brothers. My twin Jim, who unfortunately seems shy to most, is one of the most energetic people I know and would stand by me in any situation. My other brother Wes, who's 3 years older than me, has always seemed like a rock star to me, not just because his natural gift for music and playing the guitar, but also because I've always looked up to him and wanted to be just like him. He's one of the funniest people I know who truly makes me laugh straight from my gut. I find that rooms in my house are able to provide me with a certain feeling of comfort and security that I don't get anywhere else. My room is a place I can go and get away from it all. I can turn my music up as loud as I want and shut the world out if I've had one of those stressful days, whether with friends or school. I can throw anything at the walls when I'm beyond angry and know that I won't get hit back. And I can sing and dance as loud as I want when something truly wonderful has happened, and no one will see my little celebration unless I forget to close the blinds. Finally, after a long day that seems to never end, being able to crash into the comfort of my bed is such a peaceful experience. Although we can't really click our heels together three times while chanting "There's no place like home" and magically end up back in the comfort of our home, the truth in that saying is that there is honestly no place like home, and no matter where you go in the world, returning home or being reunited with your family again is incomparable.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. You can also find us on Facebook. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening. Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. The program is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.